You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When you think about complaining that God has treated you unfairly, you have another think coming.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, help us to understand that you are a God of grace and mercy, giving what we have not deserved, forgiveness of our sins, and life full of promise and hope, all through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to understand you, to believe you, and to love you. In the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. When someone gets what he has coming to him, we say, it serves you right. You got what you had coming from your ill-considered or malicious actions, talk, or plans. That's always bad. It also works the other way. When God's grace goes into action, people get not what they have earned, but what God has to give out of the goodness of his heart. When that happens to someone, we can say, it serves you right. That's not bad. It's good. Jesus said at the end of an interesting parable about workers in a vineyard, some of whom had worked all day, and others of whom worked only the last hour or so, "So the last will be first, and the first last." In the world of God's judgment, people do get what they have coming to them. It serves them right. In the world of God's grace, people receive what is coming to them by the grace of God, and that serves them right. They can't take credit for it, but it serves them right. August 3rd, 1981, Time magazine carried an article on the growing protest in the United States against the soft treatment of drunk drivers. The article began, "One day last summer, Tommy Sexton, 15, from Bowie, Maryland, and some neighbors were driving home after a day of fishing when a car driven by David Watkins swerved into their lane and hit them. Sexton was killed. Watkins, who was drunk, suffered no injuries on the highway and a mere slap on the wrist in court. He received a 2-year probationary sentence and had to pay $200. Such stories, said Time, are frighteningly common. Someone is killed in a drunk driving accident in the United States every 21 minutes, an annual toll of more than 26,000. Yet a drunk driver, says Time magazine, is rarely arrested and the possibility of stiff punishment is remote. Time's article also made the statement, "Last year, each drunk driver in New York paid on the average a $12 fine, while those who killed a deer out of season had to pay $1,500. There are times when judges and juries find it hard to be altogether fair and just. It is even hard for loving parents to treat the children they love justly at all times. Injustice is so common in the world that people all over are saying, there is no justice. When justice finally is done, people are inclined to say, it serves you right. They feel good that justice is done. All of us ought to feel good, then, that the justice of God is done in the world. We ought to feel good to get everything we have coming to us. We ought to feel happy that no one ever gets away with anything. We ought to, but we don't, especially when it happens to us. One day Peter was feeling a little sorry for himself, that he wasn't getting everything he thought was coming to him, speaking not only for himself, but for everyone else in that little company of disciples. He said to Jesus, "We have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have?" In other words, what are we going to get out of it? Jesus replied, "Amen, I say to you, because you are the ones who follow me. In the life to come, whenever the Son of Man sits upon the throne of his glory, you will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, because of my name, will receive 100 times over, and more will inherit eternal life. Many of the first ones will be last, and the last ones first." Jesus often talked to his disciples in parables. This was no exception. He said that in the kingdom of heaven, where God rules among his people, the grace of God is the determining principle, like the man who went out early in the morning to hire workers to gather grapes in his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers that they would work for a denarius a day, the regular daily wage, he sent them out into the vineyard. There's nothing unusual about that deal, nothing unfair, nothing that caused any remarks among the workers. About the third hour, that's 9 a.m., he saw others were standing around waiting for a job. He sent them out into the vineyard too and said simply to them, "Whatever is right, I will give you." Nobody complained about that. It was altogether fair. At the sixth hour, noon, and again at 3 p.m., he did the same thing. He even went out at the 11th hour, 5 p.m., an hour before closing time, and saw some more men standing around who had been idle all day. He told them to join the others in the vineyard. They did, without complaining. That evening at closing time, the owner of the vineyard told his steward or foreman to call the workers together and pay them their wages. He started with those hired last and ended up with those hired first. The men who started working at 5 p.m. were paid a denarius, a full day's wage. When the men who had been hired first came to be paid, they thought, "Surely we will get much more than those who worked only for a short time." They were in for a surprise. The people who worked all day were given the same denarius the others received, the one he promised them in the morning. I know this sounds unfair to some people. I can just hear someone suggesting that a law ought to be passed preventing that sort of thing. Actually, the story has nothing to do with fair employment practices. The point of the story is that the owner did not cheat anyone. He gave to everyone out of the goodness of his heart. The story illustrates the grace of God and how God does things. It's not surprising that the workers hired in the morning grumbled. They said, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." The owner of the vineyard replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" The owner made it clear, "I kept my word. I paid you exactly what I promised." The owner went on to say, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity?" One translation puts it, "Are you jealous because I am generous?" What Jesus was talking about is the generosity of God, the grace of God that is never earned, but always given purely out of the goodness of his heart. Obviously, this is not the way we deal with one another. It's not part of an economic system that has ever been devised on earth. It would not work anywhere under any kind of system. Here we're talking about dealing with another system, with the living God. That's why Jesus told the story. It shakes people up to realize that God does things in his own way and has to do things in his own way to salvage the human situation. We are not able to pay our way into heaven. We cannot earn our way into the favor of God. We are in no position to make any claims upon God. The moment we think that we can make demands upon God, at that very moment, we have lost the ballgame. Another thing Jesus wanted to make clear is that God keeps his promises. People often do not. They want to dicker, to bargain, to make a deal. God does not dicker. He does not arrange bargains. He's not about to make a deal. He gives. And whatever he gives must be received as the gift it is. God does not promise people that if they follow him, they will have no trouble or will have less trouble than those who care little or nothing about God. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest from the labor, and light for the new day. What God promises, he does. What God does promise is, whatever is right, I will give you. You can complain about the unfairness of it all, but it won't do you any good. God's ways are not your ways, nor are his thoughts your thoughts. He is God, and he has his own way of doing things. When we presume to pass judgment upon God, immediately we have to admit that we have only a narrow slit through which we see the facts of life. Through that slit, you can see that God is faithful, and you can trust him. The Word of God gives you that little peek at God, which is sometimes hard to accept, but the truth is still true. Whatever is right, God will do. I read about a district judge in the United States who sentenced a man to a minimum sentence. The man was not satisfied and tried to be freed on a technicality. The judge added several years to the man's sentence because he complained that he had not been treated fairly. Other people felt it served him right. When it comes to God, things are different. The last workers in the vineyard were hired, the account says, not because they were really needed, but because they had nothing to do. The master of the vineyard decided to do something for them. When the first ones complained about not being treated fairly, although they had each received a fair day's wage, the complaint surprised the owner, who had dealt with them generously. If he had fired them all, people might have been justified in feeling it served them right. Actually, they were served right in a better way than any one of them could possibly imagine. He doesn't have to ask you and me for advice. God doesn't have to come to us to determine the rightness of his decisions. He can do as he pleases. He has reasons for acting that we know nothing about. He has a right to say to people, because I'm kind to you, why are you angry with me? Fortunately for all of us, God does show mercy. This is a story about God's grace, his undeserved love. If you have any doubt about that, just remember the cross of Jesus Christ. He did not have to die for anybody, but he died for the sins of the world. He did not have to forgive anybody, but he forgave even those who crucified him. He does not have to renew the life of anyone, but he brings people back to life again with his own unselfish death for the sins of the world and his own glorious resurrection to life in the glory of his Father. God didn't have to do anything like this for the world. He did it out of the goodness of his heart. He sent his Son and gave him up for us all. If God is so gracious, so generous, so kind to everyone, without regard to the time people have served sin, their own selfish way of doing things, instead of the living God, why should anyone complain? God serves you right, my friend. What he does is right and true altogether. When he passes judgment upon you, you know you have it coming. It serves you right. He extends his gracious hand to lift you up after you have fallen, to forgive you when you have done wrong, to give you life through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, and he serves you right as only he can. The story of Jesus about the laborers in the vineyard is not about deathbed repentance compared with people who have served God all their lives. No, the saints in heaven are not going to complain about how God has dealt with them. Yes, it is purely by grace, out of the goodness of his heart, with what he has to give. Friend, God says to you, I'm not doing you wrong. Is it not possible for me to do what I wish with what I have to give? Is your eye evil because I am good? So, said Jesus, the last will be first, and the first last. You and I have no bargaining power, not with God. God gives, and people receive the gift he gives. It's not earned on a penny a day basis. It's not earned by what you do for the rest of your life. Jesus said, everyone who believes in me has eternal life. That's it. Everyone who believes God as he has disclosed himself to the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. Everyone who trusts God for redemption and forgiveness of his sins through the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in God and follows Jesus in faith will have eternal life. If God is not serving people right, I'd like to know who is. Someone told me about a hitchhiker standing in the cold and rain in the middle of the night, refusing a ride with a kind-hearted motorist because there was no radio in the car. It's like refusing rescue from drowning at sea because the rescue ship did not have the comfort someone might have expected. It serves you right. The grace of God certainly does. There's nothing vindictive about it. It's pure grace, free and unattached. It is salvation with forgiveness and life from the God who says simply to you today, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's the gift of God in Jesus, his Son, whom he gave for your life and the life of the world. One more thing. When you think about complaining that God has treated you unfairly, think again. He's wiser than you are. He knows what he is doing. He knows things you will probably never quite understand. He understands you. He extends to you his gracious hand. Take the hand of God and rejoice. You don't have to be the first. You can be last. Rejoice. In the grace of God, the last will be first, just as the first, in their own estimation, will wind up last in the long line of those who have discovered that life, true life, is really a gift from God with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The first will be last. It is a disturbing thought. The last will be first. It is the promise of life from God, full of hope that makes not ashamed. Amen.